Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're up here at beautiful Greenmount Station. We're in Hampstead. I say beautiful because it's Christmas season. They got all the decorations out on the main street here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratch-Offs to give away. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in various places in December. Going to start it off in Coco's on the 4th. We're going to be at the BMA at Gertrude's on the 5th. Costas on the 18th. Let's see, 17th, we're going to be at Amici's. And the 12th, I know I mixed the dates up there. The 12th, we're going to be at Fadley's. Excuse me, downtown. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Well, I am choking here. I had two crab cakes. I had a broiled. I had a fried. I still prefer the fried, although Chris Richard here from Greenmount Station is with Tim Lorfink. And we're OTBing. We're North Carroll Room. Been a little while since I've been up here. Been like a year and a half.
Has it really?
Well, I did the show earlier this year with David Richardson, who was supposed to be here, couldn't be with us today, over at his bowling alley. And for anybody that's from this area, you sort of know the north side of Hampstead. There's a bowling alley. There's Greenmount Station. Two of my guests that were here earlier, Tim Watson, Karen Faulkner, both live here in Hampstead. But for folks that don't know, you get a really unique gig here with this bowling alley, this institution that you've created here over the last quarter of a century, and then the OTB where you can now gamble, and you were literally the first regular guy, I used to say, that got in early to do sports wagering. And Tim, you are the sports book manager?
Teller.
System manager, teller, yeah.
So you take the bets is what we say, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with you with this because I haven't talked a lot about the modernization of all of this. And I think you wondered how this was all going to go. I had John Martin on last week, and maybe if you'd have known this, you would have thought twice, but I think we all thought of gambling as a thing you go to a casino and do, right? And see a guy like you and say, I want 10 on the Chargers this week or 10 on the Ravens, and what's the point spread or whatever. I think it is spawned to be so much different and bigger than probably you thought when you invested in a license. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I guess the overall is bigger than what anybody in the state thought it was going to be. But the majority of it is coming from mobile, not from retail. But having said that, since we opened the retail sports book in October of 2022, we've definitely increased our handle over that time. But it's still the mobile is the way to go in all these states. I mean, probably 90%+ of the money that's wagered is done on your phone.
It's bigger than that. When John Martin, executive director of the Maryland Lottery, we partnered with the lottery here. One of the reasons I think they wanted to work with me was sports book coming online, and John's front facing on all this. He likes to be accountable, show the numbers, answer the questions. When I talked to him and everyone in the industry 3-4 years ago, they thought, well, 85% will be mobile. You know, maybe as much as 85%. And 15% still going to be, if you live in Hampstead, you're going to drive over here, you're going to gamble. If you live near the airport, you'll go to Lye. You know, if you live up in Harford County, you go up to Perryville, to Hollywood or whatever, and you'll place your bets. And it was that way for about a month. And then the mobile side of this and the comfort level. I was sitting at Cooper's North last night with my wife having a tuna sandwich. Tuna wrap, and everybody at the bar was betting on things. And I'm like, it's a Towson, George Washington women's basketball game. Like, you're getting action on this, you know? And meanwhile, it was a Dayton played or some god Toledo, some god-awful Mac game was going on, and these guys were betting on it. And I'm thinking to myself, as a hobby, as $5, $10 to keep me interested, like, if you're in a casino and you're playing blackjack, you're not addicted, you're just playing dance, you know? I think sports wagering from a mobile perspective, that's what it's become. Tim, am I wrong in saying that or am I right in saying that?
I would say it's accurate. I mean, people have different amounts when it comes to like betting, like how much they're going to spend or how much they're going to wager. But I think a lot of people just like the action and they just want to get involved in some. If they see a TV playing the game, they're going to want to get involved in it somehow, some way.
I thought this for the first time last night because I've been thinking a little bit about this. And I know I want to talk to you guys about it as well. I'm in there, and I'm thinking, all right, if I liked gambling, and I never gambled because they would have taken my press pass. Funny how that worked out, huh? because if I was in there shaving points with Joe Flacco 10 years ago, hey, Joe, how's the hip doing? Oh, it's purple. Oh, maybe I should take Indianapolis this week in the playoff game. So there would have been a lot of insider information that I could have made myself know and insider traded. I mean, I had information that I had access to information that might have. You can't know anything in gambling, though, right? Just when you think you know something, I'm telling you guys. I mean, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have a problem, by the way, please stop. But I wonder if it's a problem or if it's an augmentation or if it was even me last night in a bar on a Wednesday night. I'm up at Cooper's North in Timone. There's five TVs. Three of them had this. Chris Pyka was the executive producer of the game on ESPN. I was texting him. I'm like, dude, are you in Toledo? He's like, as a matter of fact, I am. We're on ESPN too. And I'm like, I just told Jen, I bet this is your game because it was a Wednesday night game. And I'm thinking, people are wagering on this. And I saw the women's game. And I thought, could you get action on it right now? And the women's game was like 53-49 with like 6 minutes left. And I thought, well, if I'm just sitting here and I'm having a tuna wrap and I just was – if I was playing a lottery ticket, I'd think nothing of playing Keno or spending $5 or, you know, what they do at Costas or they do anywhere there's Keno or anywhere that's been a sports bar that's been there 100 years where they play games, instant lottery, the horse racing game, all that stuff. I'm thinking, all right, so if I looked at this and I thought, I like Towson in this with 6 minutes left to go, I'll put $10 just on my app and do it. I thought, that's not, like, it's not in my, it's not what I'm used to. None of us are used to this. None of this was available before. But I'm thinking, all right, there could, you know, I mean, it'd be something to do on a Wednesday if I'm out to dinner with my wife. We just wanted to root for something, you know, just to give us some, give us something to root for, like rooting for a horse or something. I don't look at it as dirty or as taboo. I mean, I promote cannabis and alcohol and all sorts of ills and taboos here, but I do look at it as so new and so stigmatized, right? Like cannabis or like anything, just stigmatized, like alcohol was probably when Prohibition ended. I couldn't do that before, and now I can do that. Is that a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Well, you can do it responsibly. It's fine. But I think from your perspective, people are having more fun with sports in that way, in a way that I don't love sports. I admitted this to Tim. I don't love sports the way I loved it, which is why I don't talk about it all day. One of the reasons I don't love it is it's not civic-minded anymore. It's more about being something you want to gamble on and pick a player or fantasy or any of these things that take us out of I love the Ravens because they're from Ballmer and I'm my team and I hate Pittsburgh. No, you know, I like Lamar. I like his jersey. I like the color purple. I want to gamble on it. But the gambling part was never available on the up and up, right? Until
not on the up and up.
Not on the up and right. up. And I think there's an up and up part of a safety measure that you're not a bookie. You're not, you know, Nine Fingers Louie going to break their thumbs if they don't. But, I mean, come on. I mean, the underside of gambling with guns and violence and people getting in, going back to Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe, there was a stigma about it that you never had a problem with OTB, that you saw as, this is going to be a nice, clean place next to my established business where older gentlemen are going to be able to come and bet horse racing where they didn't have to go to Laurel 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But the sports part of this has become really ubiquitous really quickly. Really quickly. Like cannabis, the same thing. Like, it's accepted now. It's not stigmatized in the way it was. And there's nothing dirty about sitting at the bar here, Cooper's, anywhere, and putting $10 on or against the Steelers tonight. And you see the culture of it change. I'm sure in your sports bar you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that bet. And because we have the restaurant right next door to the sports book, we have more people that will walk over from over there and maybe not just bet on their phone, but they'll bet at the window just because it's right here. I mean, if they weren't at this specific bar restaurant, they'd probably pull out their phone and do it. But because they're here, they can just walk over and place a bet. Plus, some guys, I mean, Tim will tell you, there's some ones, even though we have the four kiosk over there, they'd rather go to the window and talk to him and place their wager with him instead of doing it on the machine. So,
the only thing I've really ever bet on in my life, other than blackjack, you know, in a casino, horse racing. And I was always the guy that wanted to talk to the teller. You know, I mean, it was a guy named Seymour that used to be the guy behind the cage at Pimlico back when I was a kid. And, you know, give me two on a box on. Now, am I doing this the right way? You know what I mean? Because there's a little bit of, am I doing this the right way? The kiosk can be a little bit like.
Intimidating.
Yeah, maybe even for me. I mean, I'm an old fart. You know
there's
that about
so
me.
So many options. You can literally bet on every aspect of the game. First quarter, first half, but just like. Player props, it's like endless, the opportunities you can.
Well, that's a thing for me that makes it more interesting for me. I'm not a gambler. I bet on three football games in my life 15 years ago in Vegas on a bye weekend and just to give me something to do. I played pool cards with my dad when I was a kid, you know, Pick four winners. Never an inducement to wager, of course, you know, because my dad worked at the Point. So I'm not that kind of gambler, but I have thought recently, even this weekend, Ravens are playing Steelers. It's halftime. How are you feeling about it? You've seen them now. They're out there. Do you feel like they got to come back in them? Do you feel like they're gonna lose? And I know the points change. To me, that's a much more thoughtful way to wager than who's hurt, what's the injury report, all this. Hey, the Ravens are doing this against the spread since 1972 on nights when they're playing on the turf. And like, you know, it's a bouja, you know what I mean? Like, at halftime, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's where you get the gut feeling. You're like, defense doesn't look good. Roquan got hurt, you know. You can edge it to me.
Do
people do
it.
That? Or I mean, because to me, if I were betting my real money on, and if I were serious about winning, and there's no other reason to, you know, play it for fun, sure, but you want to win. I mean, especially if you're playing sports, you feel like you know something, you have an edge, or you're more engaged in it. I would think in-game gambling, as stupid as it sounded to me 2 years ago, I would have said to you, who would do that? Now I'm thinking to myself, well, I see a team going in one direction or another direction. That's a way better bet to me. And Clem Florio, my dearly departed friend who was a horse racing institution, I see him out at the racetrack. He would never bet on a horse until they came out and paraded. He would get his binoculars. He'd say, Nestor, the horse is sweating. He wants to run, baby doll. He wants to run. He wants to run. So he would look, and that would, you know, he would want to look at the horse, get the vibe. And it feels to me like halftime betting or in-game betting would be interesting. And I don't mean Gunner's going to hit a home run in this at bat. He's 8-1. Let me put $5. I mean, that's more baseball, like outfield. We're all going to take a player for a dollar, like games we used to play like that. But if you're serious about winning, I would think that would be an interesting way to edge it a little bit if you know something.
100%. Yeah, you try to get like feel the momentum shifting. You can kind of see a team getting better or whatnot, and especially if like I used to be a referee, like high school basketball referee, and I just feel like one thing I've noticed is like when the game's going on and a ref makes like a 50-50 call that might have went the other way, in the back of their mind they know they made that mistake and they're gonna like make up for that mistake and give it to the other team. And I've just seen that so much with football, basketball especially, and I can pick up on that.
The makeup call,
yeah.
Makeup call.
And that's what you mean by live betting. That's something that I've done when I do my betting sometimes. Is see that like going on.
Well, I talk, John, about people with problems, and I've known, we might even have mutual friends, who were gambling nuts when it was illegal. You know what I mean? When it was just sort of like nobody talked about it, and they only talk about when they win, not when they lose, you know what I mean? All the usual things. And I've known some people in my life who have addiction issues in general, and they've gambled with, I had employees. I'm like, it's not good. And the fact that it got legal made it very clear to me very quickly that people were going to have some problems early on. You know, people that couldn't control themselves, this is a gateway to some bad stuff. And I know you guys have all sorts of things built into apps to slow you down, tips, all the things we talk about with John here and all that. Give me a real, you know, you're in here with real players every day. What do you say and feel in regard to the amount of action you see?
I'll let Tim tell you, but I would say 90%+ of the people that come in here, they're your $5, $10, $15, $20, maybe $50 bettors. They seem to have everything under control. And I would actually compare that to probably the same way you look at people who drink. You know, I mean, not everybody that comes to the bar every day has an alcohol problem. You know, you come in, get a beer, get a burger, whatever it is. But then, you know, you do have people that probably, you know, they push the limit. You got to cut them off. You got to tell them that, they've had too much. And I think that's the way it is with betting. I mean, you have some people who it's never going to be a problem for them. Then you have other people that, like you said, they you know they're going to have a problem.
Anything could be your food could be a problem. You're heavier. You know, we can all do detrimental things by overindulging in whatever we love, right? And I think the gambling thing, it was a little bit like cannabis or one of these things. It was really completely restricted and illegal. And then once it's like, oh, I can go to the store and get it. I can get the action right here, right now. My God, you used to have to get on a plane, plan a weekend, fly to Vegas, or find an illegal bookie and then wonder, and then there's VIG and this and that. Am I getting paid?
Yeah,
all
get
of
paid.
That, right? Am I getting paid? How do I find Louis? You know, all of that kind of stuff. They named a salad after him, you know, down at Sabatino's, you know? So, and my other thought on gambling, because I love talking to you guys about this. By the way, it's snowing in Cleveland at this game. It's crazy. I'm just looking up at the TV here. Baseball. And I think I said this to you silly 2 years ago. Dumb me. The baseball part of gambling, I thought, I've been doing sports radio here for 33 years. We've always had a baseball team. We didn't have a football team the first 5 years, right? And those first 5 years, I had a Friday show called the Friday Football Frenzy. Every week we picked – I had the USA Today, and I would pick against the spreads every week. I keep my numbers. We did a pigskin pick'em on fax machines. A guy named John Nadolny used to grade them every morning. We would give a $50 gift card to Greenmount Station for the weekly winner, or we'd have a gift pack or whatever. So, like, picking games, picking winners, football, 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 and then March Madness and the Super Bowl and horse racing. That's gambling, right? That's gambling as we would know it here. Even the people that had Louis the Bookmaker, they didn't bet on baseball. Nobody knew how to bet on baseball. I go to Vegas and I know a 7.5 pitcher starting. Like, what? How do I even bet on this? You know? And I said, no one's going to bet on baseball. No one's going to bet on baseball. Like, who? I've never met anybody that's bet on baseball. People bet on baseball, and I'd never thought that that was going to happen.
Yeah, baseball is actually pretty popular, especially when the Orioles are doing well. I feel like it gets more people wanting to bet on them or maybe against them. But baseball is cool because it's every day. You can bet every day. There's a game every day.
I find the bet on a player to hit a home run tonight, like that kind of stuff.
Those are fun.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, to me, reminds me of being on the wheel with craps and saying, I'm just going to put a 5 on a hard 8 and see, you know, hits, I get $40. You know what I mean? Whatever, mm-hmm. Right? I never looked at baseball, and I never spoke of baseball. No one ever called me in 1997 and said, hey, Nasty, who do you like tonight? You like Scott Erickson? Like, it's never been spoken about that way, and that's why I wanted to ask you guys on the baseball side, what have you seen since the Orioles have come into this? People bet win-lose tonight, or are they betting weirder things? Because with baseball, I would bet weirder things. I would just – Orioles are going to score 5 runs. Whatever that kind of thing that would make it – that would be more my action than starting pitching. God, starters don't even pitch, especially in the playoffs, right? I mean, so you can't even bet on a starting pitcher.
Correct. Yeah, baseball, I feel like a lot of people bet the – like you said, the home run props. Like, Gunnar is such a popular player. A lot of people like betting on him. Santander, they just like – and that way you know when he's coming to the plate, you're going to watch that for sure. Because baseball can be a long nine innings, long, sometimes 3 hours game. So they like to just pick a player, hope he gets a home run, and they win.
I never bet college basketball, and I thought it was silly because I thought, some guy's going to throw up a junk three at the end and crush my line. I mean, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And to me, bet on red or black and just play a win. You're going to bet on college. Like, that's how I feel about it. And I feel like it is. Being a sports guy and being an expert and all that, I should have some edge. I don't even know what that edge is. I'm trying to figure out the momentum, different things like that. Because the edges aren't history, injury. To me, starting pitching, those aren't reasons to wait. Not that you need a reason, but if you want to win.
Correct.
To get an advantage, I would think that there's so much information out there that it's like reading a racing form. It can be blinding, right?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you've seen millions of games. I mean, I'm sure you maybe pick up on some, like, coaching tendencies, like some of the – how the coaches –
Can I bet on whether Harbaugh will waste a timeout? Can I bet on
wish.
That?
I wish we could do that.
If I could take a number on that, I'm ready to go.
It wouldn't be worth it. You'd have to
clean
lay 500.
The house would get cleaned out. Chris and Timmer here. We're up at Greenmount Station. I've already had 2 delicious crab cakes. I'm not going to eat one right here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Give me a little Hampstead Primer and your business and all the things going on. David couldn't be here to talk about bowling, but post-pandemic – I was here during the plague, after the plague. Man, I pulled up the pictures today from all the people we've had here.
Uh-huh.
Barry Trotz, Steve Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I just went through Owen Day. I just was going Marshall Yanda. We had Hall of Famers that were here. And I think about the community itself and COVID and what you've tried to do here with an OTB, full-on gambling, and the expansion. Your place is it's grown down the way here, and then the bowling alley and your partnership. I would think this is like gotten a little more normalized, other than inflation, just in a general sense, right?
I think so. I think I heard you mention earlier you're 33 years in the business. Next year, next April, will be 30 years for us.
We'll go celebrate.
With the restaurant. Yeah, we're going to have to celebrate something.
Do something.
But, yeah, I think that now we are back to a normalcy after the pandemic. Like you said, prices are – I think I just read something with the Restaurant Association. Basically, if your menu prices haven't increased 26% since 2020, then you're losing money, because that's how much, like, food costs, labor, everything. There's a big chunk – you know, everything has gone up. But
So the crab cake's bad because, like, crab's so volatile in the pricing.
It does,
but let's say a $20 steak or $20 meal then should now be $26.
$25, $26.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that feels like that's what it is everywhere I go. I mean, I go out, you're not the only restaurant I eat at or do business with. It feels like that's kind of, and it feels like it happened quickly, but it feels like it's stabilized a little bit.
It has stabilized, but it's just funny because, like, for somebody like me, I'm thinking back to the 90s, and I'm like, dude, a burger was $5, and a beer was, you know, on happy hour was $1, you know? So
I remember the first $10 burger I saw. I thought, what?
I know.
59 cents at McDonald's, you know? It's 29 cents at McDonald's.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But
with cheese, 19 without cheese, you know?
People are getting used to those prices now, so it makes it a little bit better. And I don't know. The staffing issues have gone away. We, you know, we're almost fully staffed right now, and I bet – 2 years ago, every restaurant was looking for help, whether you were open the same hours, different hours, and it didn't matter. You just needed help.
Well, I don't want to get political on the Trump thing, because you know where I stand on this. I stand a little different than Hampstead does in general. But we had unemployment at 4% at the election 2 weeks. I don't know how many elections we've had in the history of this country where unemployment's, I mean, it's such a natural number. There's always 4% of the people that don't want to work. So that's kind of an amazing thing, because I do remember everywhere I went 2 years ago, wasn't Carol anywhere, help wanted help. Nobody could get.
Correct.
A lot of people didn't want jobs at that point, right? Literally.
And that's the thing, too. Like, for me, you know, I'm not going to say where I stand on the politics, but I just wish that both sides could agree on the numbers, because regardless of what side is in, each side complains about the numbers. These aren't the true numbers. They don't represent the people who are actually, you know, gave up on looking for help, or they're still looking for help, or they only have part-time help, or these are government jobs, or they're whatever. So my thing is, here, I could tell, I guess it was probably February of this year, I started getting emails. I started getting phone calls. I started getting walk-ins.
Like people wanted work.
Asking for a job. Asking, okay. And that, to me, that's the first time since pre-2020 that that's happened, which tells me, you know, I don't know what it tells me other than the fact that I don't have to worry as much about help like I did for the last 3 years. We really busted our butts, you know, working a lot of hours that, you know, we were working overtime just every – I work 7 days a week.
Shorthanded was the theme for everyone,
yes.
Literally.
And,
yeah.
And it drives you crazy because you see other people that don't seem to worry about working, you know, and now it seems like – so I think maybe part of it too is that those COVID benefits that everybody was getting, I think some of that ran out, and, like, now people are like, okay, now with inflation, so you're paying more, so you got to make a decision. Am I gonna stop spending, or am I going to just get a part-time job and pay for the different things that I want to get? And I think that it's working out better for us. I don't have I feel a lot more hopeful after seeing the amount of people that we've had come in for jobs this year.
Well, I've known you for almost 20 years now, and coming up here and being a part of this and doing the show, people ask me about crab cakes all the time. And, you know, because I eat them everywhere now. And, I mean, you were part of the inspiration. I remember the night I met you at the stadium at Boys and Girls Club, Paul the Bragg. And I was making a Venezuelan Dundalk Puerto Rican Venezuelan tacos, pork tacos. And you were making crab cakes. You ran out of your crab cakes pretty quickly that night, as I remember. And I'm like, that's a good – where? Hampstead? Hamden? Hey, Ham, where? Where? Carol, what? And then the next thing I know, I'm up here. And people ask me about crab cakes all the time. And I'll say to them, like, love me a Fadley's crab cake. It's not like yours. It's mustardy. Love me a Costas crab cake. East Side. It's an East Side crab cake. It's saltier. It's more Old Bay. I said the Angelina's crab cake was my childhood crab cake, and that was out on Bel Air Road, and that was Hoochie Goochie from Dundalk. We had to get in the car, drive out. Parkville was upscale for Dundalk, and we would go out there and had these. And I'd never had that crab cake anywhere else. And it's a very sweet sort of crab cake that you make here. And I know you've told the story. I want you to tell it because you haven't told it in a couple of years because you haven't been here. But this was like a family recipe. Is your grandfather's favorite recipe,
right?
It was
my dad.
My dad used
to go to Angelina's, and that was one of his favorites. He also liked Michael's in Timonium.
Sure.
That was a similar crab cake. And so that's how we just started experimenting. And he was also friends with the Dulles family. And I remember going down to meet Marcella, Michael's mother, and gave us some pointers. And basically, without telling you the whole recipe and the secret, it's all about the quality of crab meat that you use and using jumbo or using all jumbo lump as opposed to some people mix. And we talked about it a little bit before the show how two philosophies, some people have the bigger and there's a little bit more in there than just crab meat, and then other places have like a more pure crab cake.
Well, it's a slurry, or some people would say it's got filler in it, it's got filler.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the filler's the flavor in some case. You know, like I don't have a favorite. I have ones that I prefer because I could say, well, I love your crab cake, but I wouldn't want to eat it 10 times in a row because I do like me a mustardy crab cake or a wetter crab. I mean, they're all interesting and different. My personal side is toward your crab cake because I grew up and I loved it. So it's familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, man, I've eaten hundreds of crab cakes since the last time I had your crab cake. I don't know. There's a lot of places where yours is close. Coco's is a little bit sort of similar, but not, and big and different. But I don't know a lot of places that do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of you as Angelina's, and everybody makes it different. That's the crab cake. That's the beauty of it. Every crab cake's different.
It is.
And yours really consistent. I mean, over the 20 years of coming here, like I got it today, and it tastes, that's what you want. You want it to always taste the same.
It is, 100%. And I always tell people, because I'm past the part of like wanting somebody to say that ours is the best. There's people that say it's the best, and then there's people that like others. I just want to be in the ballpark. Like if somebody has our crab cake and they're disappointed, that's a disappointment to me, and I want to. There's got to be something wrong. You know what I mean? Most people, they
put us
up there.
That's a beautiful thing you just said. That I'm going to steal that. You just gave me a gift. If you get the Fadley's crab cake, you're not going to be disappointed. If you come here, you're not going to. You go to Costa, it's going to be great. You're going to love
right.
it. But you're going to say, that's a little different. That's a little saltier. That's a little more Old Bay. That's a little sweeter. Hey, that's got some slurry. Don't say filler. That insults, to me, that's an insult to Pappas to say theirs is wetter. It just has a different flavor mm-hmm. and a different texture. But I think they're all delicious. And I think every place I've been has done well, there's one place I went. I didn't tell you about this.
I don't know.
Oh, God. It came from your Restaurant Association Maryland pal, who has done the show here with us, and I love him. But I was doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days. This was three summers ago. First time I did it. And I was adamant about doing one in every county. Part of my Maryland lottery sponsorship. I told John Martin, 23 counties in the city, 24 municipalities, 30 crab cakes. I went up, I had about 38 crab cakes in 30 days. I moved around a little bit, did the show. Ocean City, Western Maryland, Deep Creek. I went everywhere. I went everywhere in the state. There's a county, Kent County, really tough to get a crab cake there. There's only one town in the whole county over in Eastern Shore. I mean, there's only one town, and you have to find a crab cake in that because there's nowhere. So, Montgomery County. I got recommended a place. And I'm not going to give this place away because it's not right. Neither was this crab cake. So my wife and I that night, we were going to see Styx and Def Leppard, I think, down at the Jiffy Lube Live down in Manassas. Uh-huh. So I'm like, that's the night we're going to get the Montgomery County crab. It was in August. We did the tour. So I went down. I went to this place. And this was it was a bit of a deli, really upscale. I mean, I'm talking Potomac, mm-hmm. Gucci, Richie Rich. I'm talking passing $10 million houses. Get into this place, okay? So this is Montgomery County, right at the state line by Virginia, below Rockville, almost by the bridge. And went to this place, went in, nice deli. I mean, all sorts of pre-prepared foods, all Gucci, all high-end. And they say, we ship crab cakes, we have crab cakes. And I'm like, well, that's why I came, you know? So give me two crab cakes in the bag. I think I took some coleslaw, this, that. We were tailgating. Put it all in a bag in the back seat. We're going to eat it when we get down to the Jiffy Lube. It was Nissan then, probably Jiffy Lube Live. So we get down there. My wife gets out. We get some music going. We got tailgate, got the chairs out, got the beer, you know. And I had eaten a crab cake. This is like day 25 of crab. I mean, I'd eaten crab cakes every day. So I'm like, all right, you know, we'll see what this one's about. I pulled it out. Took a bite of it, and I got a crunch.
Crunches.
No. I looked at it, and I'm like, it's celery. It had celery in it. Another bite, chewing it. I'm like, this is the weirdest effing crab cake. I said, wait. I looked at it, and I poked around, because I was doing that to all the crab, looking for the orange roe in there, see if there's female. They took, I'm not kidding you, a chicken salad recipe.
And just put
crab,
in
it. It was chicken salad with crab meat.
It's crab salad. Interesting.
I mean, there's silence here because
I don't know.
I need to work this out. And I got there, and I'm like, I took a picture of it, and I didn't really finish it. It wasn't bad crab meat. It just was friggin' weird, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a crab cake. I don't know what it was. I mean, this is what these people in D.C. are doing. They don't do that up here in Carroll County. They know what they're doing up here.
Well, that's what you get sometimes when you go out of state and you ever order a crab cake. You'll get something.
Never.
The person will say, oh, these are really, really good. And then you – I mean, I made that mistake once. I was in South Carolina, I think.
No.
Ordered one, and I'm like, God. Because it says Maryland crab cakes, you know, and you're thinking, oh, they must have somebody here from Maryland that knows what they're doing. And – that was the first and only time I've
ever
done
that.
Now, you
know, Damie at Fadley's tells me the story. She told me about 3 summers ago, she found out that there was a place down in South Carolina, Hilton Head maybe, that was serving on their menu the Fadley's crab cake. It didn't say Maryland crab cake.
Oh, wow.
It had their name on it. So she knew about this. Mm-hmm. She went and ordered it. And when it came.
It was?
No.
Oh,
no, worse than that, they were using her name.
That is worse.
Really worse. But. She called the managers over, and she's like, look, yeah, I got lawyers. I'm not getting lawyers. You're taking my name off this crab cake, and I don't know who told you you could use our name. But, like, you know, Maryland is bad enough. You know it's going to suck. Don't put Greenmounts. Don't put Angelina's name on that. You know, I mean, I'm using Angelina's name here, and I never knew Angelina, but you're doing her right here. Chris is here. Tim is here. We're at Greenmount Station. We're part of the OTB. The bowling alley's next door. The bar is here. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour comes here anytime we get a chance to talk crab cakes and have fun. I had Montgomery County executive on, Mark Elrich. He's become a friend of mine, actually. Big rock and roll guy. I told him, I'm like, I'm never having a crab cake in Montgomery County again. You guys are done. You're DC to me, man. You're out. Well, the crab cakes are delicious. What else you got going on up here? You're still doing the clowns and the parties and the kids? And
oh, yeah, every Monday night.
I mean,
we're
a family place here. You really
we
are a family
so are,
restaurant.
Yeah, the balloon guy, balloon artist on Monday nights, 5 to 7. We got a magician, house magician here every Wednesday. From 6 to 8, that's Dave Thoman. He's a local magician, but he is pretty popular in the whole state and really in the region. But, yeah, I mean, we have Wednesday night or Thursday nights are our wine night, half-price bottles of wine, happy hour every day, even on the weekends. So there's a lot going on.
See, I said this is for kids, but this is when will we take his picture? This is from July 11th, 2012. This is me wearing my my balloon hat. They made a balloon raven hat for me here at Greenmount Station. So there I am right there in front of the sign from 2011. 13 and a half years ago this picture was taken. I'm here with you.
Yeah. And when did we start with the Dennis Pitta show?
It's 2007 or 8. Okay. 8 was Pitta. So, yeah, I guess I've been coming in here 16 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you were saying you brought a lot of guys in here. I mean, the late Jacoby Jones. You brought him in.
I shared that picture. He has this great picture in front of my sign. We did that show over in the next room over, two rooms over. But I shared pictures today of Owen Daniels, Dennis Pitta, Zach Orr got swabbed here. The current defensive coordinator was a player. And I have a picture of him getting swabbed here. Absolutely. Yeah. Steve Smith was here.
Multiple times. Steve was here multiple times.
Steve and C.J. Mosley. Together, I put that picture up. Marshall Yanda got swabbed here. I have a picture of him getting swabbed. And then Sam Cook was our last guest here before they took my press pass. I kind of feel bad about that because we brought Sam out. It snowed sideways. It was in January. It was the week of the playoff game. And it was the playoff game we were, like, supposed to win. It was, like, would that have been 19? It was before the plague. Yes. So it was 19. Yes. It was the year we were really
Tennessee,
good.
Tennessee, right? Was that the
Tennessee? We were 13-3. Yeah. We lost that awful game.
I was at that game. That was brutal to watch.
We did the last show we did here did not have a happy ending for anybody. But Sam Cook still lives in the community. He's a good man.
He does. He's Westminster.
Absolutely. He knows a good crab cake. But I had the same argument with all these guys that I'm having with you. Fried or broiled.
You're
everybody's
lose.
Broiled. Yep. I did order 1-1, and I ate the broiled one first, and I must admit, it was pretty damn good. Yeah. I never order a broiled one here, so I can't tell you like that they're better or worse. I just don't get them. I actually got one today, and it's pretty good. I mean, the broiled crab cake, as much as I like the fried, the broiled's really good.
I'd say 80 to 90% is the order of that over fried.
We got a health movement out here? I mean, what's going on out here?
I prefer the fried, so I'm on your side.
Oh, listen to that. That's the first person I've ever heard say
I
that.
Do besides fried
Tim's my man here, you know. You and me, down and dirty. We're going to fry it. We're going to bet on it. We're going to drink it. All the vices we'll bring out here tonight.
Exactly.
Maybe a side of French fries. Chris and Tim, right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for your sponsorship and your love of my business and keeping us in business. Appreciate you. Wagering tips or anything like that, people? What do you offer to people when people come up to you and as a guy that does this professionally, what would you like to say to people out there about wagering now that it's on the up and up, as they say?
Oh, man, you just got to control the best you can. I know it's a day-by-day thing. You know, you got to do your research. You can't, if you really want to make it big, you got to do research and check people out on Twitter, see what the notes are saying. It's not easy, but, you know.
Know what you're betting on is what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lottery people say the same thing. All these are odds-based. This is a $20,000 competition. $10 tickets or more, $200,000. Know the odds. Know the numbers. But when it comes to sports, know what you're doing. Just know what you're doing. Know what you're getting into. That's all.
Yep.
And the other thing I would say, bet sides or totals 1-1. Don't bet. It's hard enough to win one bet. When you place these parlays and some of these guys bet 5, 10, 12-leg parlays, and they'll hit 10 out of 12, and they're like, oh, it was so close. And it's like, why didn't you just bet? Yeah, you still lose. So, I mean,
you made 10 bets, you would be way ahead.
But the difference is you can bet $5 to win 500 if you're betting all these legs. So they don't want to win just $5. They want to win 500. So, but my point would be if you want to win, one or maybe two plays is going to be a lot more chance at winning than when you're putting all these big, long parlays together. So that's
I've had a couple of degenerates in my life, horse racing guys, and every year I bring them on Preakness Week, and I always say, look, man, you're on the backstretch, you know every jockey, you know every, you know, you read the form like the back, like a Bible. Are you ahead or are you behind lifetime? You know, that's what I need to know. And Girardi said to me, I'm ahead. He said, I've, you know, I've hit some, but I've had a couple of people say, nah, I'm not ahead. I'm like, 50 years you've been studying horse racing, and you can't win. What chance do I have at being any good at this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to do it for fun. Honestly, you do it for more than fun, and it's just tough.
I will leave you with this story of my dear friend Marvin Lewis. Back in 1996, Marvin and Jim Schwartz, who beat us 2 weeks ago with the Browns.
He's Mount St. Joe. That's where I went to school. That's where he's from. That's where he went to school, too.
You and Tim Watts, both all you Mount St. Joe mafia hanging out. To share all you guys, right? I lost my train of thought. Jim Schwartz and Marvin. Mm. Marvin used to have a little red dot, and I would bag lunch and sit in their office and watch film. Practice would end 11:45. Locker room was open, and I would go up to Marvin's office, right up the steps, little office, me, him, and Schwartz, and he had a blackboard, and we would watch last week's defense, which in 1996 was really bad. You know, I mean, there was a lot of defense to watch because they were giving up a lot of points, a lot of broken plays. And there was some play that happened. This is a 96 Ravens or 4-12. It was like this slapstick, you know, it was like football follies. Balls jumping around, guys diving, can't fall on it, whatever. I remember Marvin early on, he looked at me, he's like, man, I can't believe people bet on this. He's like, I'm in here and I'm coaching these guys. I have no idea which way this ball. I know everything about football. I'm the expert. I have no idea if we're going to win or lose or how they're going to perform. He said, I can't believe people bet on this. So that was that was what he told me in 1996.
It is tough.
And I thought, well, if you can't figure it out, and if Dick Girardi can't figure out the ponies after 50 years, what chance do I have? No. I'm just going to put a fiver on Gunnar Henderson to hit a home run because he's got lame pitching and a short fence. What are you going to do? They're moving the fence back in, right?
I heard that. I saw that. Yep.
You don't have to pay the bets from last year for the ones that went short, right? Tim and Chris are up here. Dave's next door over at the Greenmount Bowl as well. He was a gracious host and doing all things with the Maryland Jockey Club and horse racing. So we're hoping that goes online in early January. So I'll get Dave back on. We'll talk about the ponies. I learned
Sounds
so much.
Good.
I did the show over there in May with him. Oh, my God. Talk about the whole industry, learning horse racing, you know, learning how this thing's going to change. So I'm looking forward to that with Dave. Been a great group of folks up here today. Tim Watts came by, my longtime producer, and I found old pictures from the 1990s with him. Also, Karen Faulkner came up from Faulkner Leadership Advisory. She lives in the community up here with her beautiful daughters. We were talking about the joys of Hempstead during the holidays. Come on up, have a crab cake, have some ribs, get a burger, have some beer, bet the games responsibly, of course. And they can also find you on the mobile app, too. You want to plug that? Bet Parks?
Yeah, Bet Parks mobile app. It's state-specific, so you just, on your app store, you just search Bet Parks. Choose the state that you obviously live in, and you can do Bet Parks Maryland, Bet Parks Pennsylvania if you're back and forth. And
don't give the money to these out-of-town clowns, these DraftKings, Big Poppy. This guy owns a license. Take care of the people here locally. Is that good?
That sounds
That's
great.
The truth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, if you put in
Jamie Foxx don't need your money.
You put in the promo code GMS, and you can get a $75 Greenmount gift card. So if you're coming up this way, stop in. You can get yourself some free dinner.
I did the math on that.
Yeah, there you go.
You got to take advantage of that. It's a free meal.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be more than happy to help you at the counter if you need help signing up for the app. But, yeah,
free food,
great.
Cold booze, gambling. We got everything here. Balloon hats for the kids. We're doing it all.
Sounds good.
And great memorabilia around here as well. I am Nestor. We're signing off from Greenmount Station. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. You get a ticket. I feel like Oprah. You get a ticket. You get a ticket. Everybody gets a chance to win here. Absolutely. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Luke is on his way back and forth from Owings Mills. He couldn't be here today because he's covering football. We have Music Classic going, and I want to wish everyone a really happy, safe, awesome Thanksgiving. What pie are you having?
Pumpkin pie, for
what
sure.
What pie?
Maybe apple pie.
I'm mincemeat. I'm going mincemeat with that. Oh, that fruit in there and the dates and the good stuff keeps me regular. I'm back for more. We are BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.